Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The Big Ten Wrestling Tournament is this weekend, and we are here to preview all of the action. I'm Thomas Frank Carr. Greg Pickle, our wrestling reporter, here to give you all that information. We really means Greg. Like, I'm just here as kind of the custodian to keep the lights on and keep people moving through the water slide. But Greg, welcome to the show. Appreciate you dropping some knowledge here on our preview of the Big Ten Championships.
Yeah, it's good to be here, T. Frank. Obviously, the Nittany Lions already Big Ten regular season champions. And if you're a Penn State wrestling fan, just getting into the fun and excitement of this as the postseason begins, there's no bigger note, no other place to start, T. Frank, than with the latest on Carter Starace. So yep. I know we're going to get into the weight-by-weight breakdowns here in a little bit. But if you missed it, the three-time NCAA champion going for his fourth NCAA title at 174 pounds this year suffered a lower body injury, was grasping at his right knee at the end of a technical fall win over Edinburgh's Brody Evans two Sundays ago. Cale Sanderson said after that match, the longtime legendary Penn State coach, obviously tremendous competitor at various levels in wrestling, said afterwards that they were going to get him checked out. The Penn State wrestling program did not have a media availability last week since the team was off. Cale did pop up on the Penn State coaches show with Steve Jones last Thursday and said that, you know, they was healing better than expected, further along than expected, but didn't really provide a whole lot of news otherwise. And then Monday, his annual pre-Big Ten tournament media session started off with a little bit of the James Franklin, I don't know how it does me any good to talk to you guys about this path. And then to his credit, he did go a little bit further down the path without providing any specifics, but just saying that Carter Starace, the plan for him is still to seek and destroy his opponents and go out there and compete and give it his all. This is a guy that competed in a previous postseason with a broken hand. Obviously not quite the same thing as whatever knee issue he may be dealing with, but yeah. I mean, lo and behold, there's a plan for Carter Starace. And the best I can read between the tea leaves at this point is he is going to try and give it a go at Big Tens, see how things go. If you're unaware of how the rules work, to qualify for the national tournament, he must be on the mat for at least 1 second in his first match and then 1 second in his second match. And if he did both of those, stepped out there, shook his opponent's hand, waited till the clock stopped running, and then medically forfeited the match, he would still qualify for nationals, having been in two Big Ten matches. But what he wouldn't have is a top seed, which is, of course, what everyone would expect him to have if he was fully healthy and fully competing at Big Tens, which is still a possibility. So we're not going to know much more than that until Saturday morning. The action begins in College Park at 10 a.m. on Big Ten Network, but they start at 125 pounds. So unless he does not weigh in early Saturday morning, which I think the odds of that are about as good as you and I competing at Big Tens this weekend. I mean, he's definitely weighing in. But then they will have to go through pigtail matches at 125 through 285, and then they'll go back to 125 for the first round. So if you're expecting to get an update early Saturday morning, I just wouldn't count on it. You're probably going to hear at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com, and if you listen to Jeff Byers, the longtime tremendous play-by-play voice of Penn State wrestling, during his pre-match show, you're probably going to hear him talk about Carter weighing in and some things like that. But in terms of how this will actually play out, I really am not expecting an update until lunchtime at best, maybe a little after 12:30 on the East Coast. So we'll see how this all plays out. But I think in a worst case, we talked about it on last week's Blue White Illustrated Penn State Wrestling Show, T. Frank, that worst case, he steps out there for those two matches for a total of 2 seconds of competition time apiece at Big Tens, qualifies for NCAAs, and let's, you know, we'll see where the cards go from there. Option two would be for him to compete as far as he can, whether that's into the just the quarterfinals and then the semifinals, whether that would be the whole way to the finals, we're just not going to know. But that's obviously behind door number two. I believe it was 2018, Jason Nolf, the Penn State great, competed in two matches at the Big Ten tournament and then, you know, medically forfeited his way out of that to get ready for nationals. So a lot of different scenarios in play here. Cale Sanderson said yesterday that, I'm sorry, if you listen, depending on when you listen to, he said on Monday that You know, they will step in if they feel like they need to either protect him or just make a decision about his level to compete. So time will tell. They'll do right by him. Carter Storace is a competitor. He is not going to want to come off that mat. At the end of the day, the goal is a national title. And so whatever you have to do at Big Tens to be at your best at NCAAs, you do. And that's what's going to guide this decision-making process in the long run.
So one of the things that Sanderson said after he said, like, I don't know if I want to say too much, is that he talked a little bit in detail, as you mentioned, that I thought was interesting. So one of the things that he said was, you know, it's about pain management, and it's actually a good thing that it hurts, because when it doesn't hurt, he said in certain, to paraphrase, something's missing or something.
Right. Yeah. Usually there's something not there, is the quote he used. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. So that's an area where you should feel encouraged, maybe, but also like it is, you know, looking for breadcrumbs in this conversation of what level of competitor is he going to be able to be at this point. But it's, as you've laid out, I think pretty clearly, he will be a competitor of some sort, you know, going into the postseason. So are we ready to get into the preview into the weight classes? Let's start at 125. What do you got? What are you previewing at 125?
Yeah, so just to set this whole conversation up, the Big Ten released pre-seeds on Monday night. And what that is basically the first look at how the bracket could shake out. In almost every year, these stay the same. They don't change. There is an opportunity for coaches to provide feedback to the Big Ten if they think the wrestler is not ranked where he should be. But ultimately, these almost always are exactly a mirror image of what the brackets look like. So if you are listening to this show later in the week, the official brackets will come out on Friday. What is that? That will be the 8th. The brackets will come out then. There's a small chance that some of the first expected opponents we talk about do not end up being correct during this show, just based on the pre-seeds changing. But again, most time that is not something you have to worry about. So keep that in mind if you're listening on Friday and you say, hey, wait a second, that matchup doesn't sound right. Are possibilities for these things to change, but unlikely. 125. Freshman Braden Davis going to his first Big Ten tournament. He, of course, won the starting job over returner Robbie Howard, Gary Steen, and Marco Vespa earlier this year. Had a very good December and January. February was a little bit more up and down as the competition heated up. So he enters his tournament at number 6 with an expected opening opponent of Justin Cardani, who's the number 11 seeded wrestler out of Illinois, an opponent that Davis would be favored to beat. So the big takeaway here at 125, T. Frank, and we're going to have continuing breakdowns of all these weight classes and scenarios at Blue White Illustrated throughout the rest of the week. But the biggest thing here is I think just about anything's possible. And that goes for Big Tens and Nationals at 125. If you've been following along closely, you know that the only guarantee at 125 this year across the conference and across the nation is that there is no guarantees. I mean, the rankings, if you're a college basketball fan and you see how often the top 25 has changed this year because teams win, then teams lose. The wrestling related example of that is the 125 pound rankings. They've been all over the place. So Braden Davis comes into this tournament at number 6, seated fairly, I think, but also probably the Penn State wrestler with the best chance to outperform his seed when all is said and done, when the medal matches are complete on Sunday. I just look across the board here. He's got some guys in around him that he has not has beat this year, and he has some guys around him that he has not beat this year, and some various levels of competitiveness, you know, one way or the other. Matt Ramos from Purdue is the number 1 seed here. I think he's fairly called a favorite with Drake Ayala from Iowa sitting at number 2 and a deserving number 2 seed. But from there, I mean, I think, you know, depending on how rose, you know, blue and white colored your glasses are, you probably could make the case that 3 through 6 or 7, you could have ranked in not maybe any order, but, you know, you certainly could have ping ponged some guys around. So I think Davis is the best case scenario for a Penn State wrestler to outperform his seed. And in terms of my prediction, I just don't see him getting by Ramos. And I do think he is the winner of this weight class at Big Tens, but I have Davis wrestling back after he exits the consolation bracket, probably in the semifinals, to finish 3rd, which would certainly be a respectable showing during his first trip to the conference tournament.
Okay, so what about 133? What's going on there?
133 is a pretty fascinating weight class, starting with the fact that Penn State first-year wrestler Aaron Nagao, who's an All-American from his previous time at Minnesota, has had an extremely up-and-down season. He's a guy that there are times, T-Frank, and you and I have talked about it on the show before, but there are matches and days and stretches of matches where you can say, yeah, this guy's an All-American, and he's trending in the right direction. And then, as Kale Sanderson has noted, he dealt with some sort of an illness, or, you know, he was not completely healthy during the second half of the dual meet season, and it showed up in his wrestling and ultimately in the results. So when you're trying to predict this 133-pound bracket, the big question you have to ask yourself is Aaron Nagao at his healthiest form, or is he close to it? And that's going to tell us a lot about where he ultimately finishes in this weight class. He enters this Big Ten tournament as the number 5 seed. Again, I think that's a fair place for him to be. Dylan Ragusan is number 1 from Michigan. Dylan Shaver from Rutgers, number 2. Nick Bouzkakis is number 3 from Ohio State. Jacob Vandy from Nebraska, number 4. So all guys Nagao has seen, or had the opportunity at least to see, depending on his health, during the Big Ten season. But yeah, the major question here, again, is just what version of Nagao are you going to get? Are you going to get the one that was healthy and rolling and winning by technical fall early in the year? Or are you going to get the one that found himself in some unadvantageous situations and was either winning by close decisions or dropping matches towards the end of the year? So when I look to try to break down this bracket, I look at Dylan Ragusan as a guy he can beat. So I have Nagao over Ragusan in a likely semifinal matchup, but then falling to Shaver in the final. So I have a second place finish for Nagao that, again, if he's fully healthy, he's fully capable of. And if he is not fully healthy, then, you know, him falling to a much different part of the podium is not out of the question.
So what's up next? We have 141. So what are you looking at there?
Yeah, so senior Bo Bartlett beat Iowa's Real Woods earlier this year during the dual meet season. Woods was the reigning number 1 seed at 141 dating back to the start of the season. And Bo was able to take him out pretty convincingly when the two met in Carver Hawkeye Arena. So the other side of the bracket is really the one to watch here. I think most people would be stunned if Bartlett does not roll into the 141-pound final. The question just becomes, who does he face? Is it Real Woods of Iowa, or is it Jesse Mendez, a very talented wrestler from Ohio State? They are the 2 and 3 seed, respectively. It will be stunning if they don't end up in a semifinal opposite each other for the right to presumably wrestle Bartlett. And then what happens in the finals, you know, based on who he gets. I have Bartlett winning the Big Ten title at 141 pounds. I like the way he's wrestled. Obviously, there's times where he doesn't get his offense going, maybe to the degree or level that many would prefer him to. But at the same time, I just think this is his year. I think he wants it to be his year. I think he's trained for it to be his year. The win over Woods was just incredibly impressive. And to me, T. Frank, this is the time for him to shine, to, you know, in his mind, I'm sure, hopefully make it to the top podium at Nationals. And, you know, to put yourself in the best position to do so from a seeding perspective, you do that by winning the Big Ten tournament and keeping the number 1 overall seed. So that's where I lean with him right now. I think he will be the first Penn State champion crowned on Sunday in College Park.
Next up, we have 149, Tyler Kasak here, the 4 seed. How important is he to a potential championship run for Penn State?
So if you look at the Big Ten pre-seeds, Penn State is projected to win this tournament if they just wrestle to their seed by a significantly wide margin. And again, the part of this is whether Carter Starace can wrestle to his number 1 seed or not will obviously change the potential margin of victory for Penn State there, without question, the favorite going into this thing, and a significant one at that. So, you know, if Carter Starace cannot compete all the way to the finals, obviously you're going to be looking for guys to pick up bonus points somewhere along the way. And Kasak's a guy who is capable of doing that. He should open with number 13, Aiden Vandenbush of Northwestern. The only problem he has is that Ridge Lovett, the very talented wrestler, number 1 seed from Nebraska, who beat him in February, is on his side of the bracket. And Kasak has grown this year. He has shown a lot of really good things. I'm just not sure he's ready to knock off Lovett at this point. I think Lovett is an extremely talented wrestler who is really going to, if he hasn't already, and I think for most wrestling fans he has, but for maybe the ones that just tuned into Nationals, is really going to open some eyes this postseason. So I have Lovett winning at 149 pounds. I have, that would obviously mean he beats Kasak in the semis if Kasak and he both get there. And then I think it's not out of the question, depending on how the bracket shapes up, for him to wrestle his way back to third, or at least be in the third place match and finish third or fourth at his first Big Ten tournament. So that's the area I have him in at this point. And, you know, again, I think the key for him is going to be to just keep building that confidence as he gets ready for a pretty good field he's going to face at the national tournament.
So 157, Levi Haynes, a lock for Penn State here as we get towards the heavier weights.
Yeah. So, you know, as we get into the heavier weights, as you and I were talking about, yeah, I think that the not across the board, but certainly, you know, at this point, depending on how the bracket shapes out, in 125 through 149, 157 could be yet again the start of a big role for Penn State in the finals. Obviously, Levi Haynes is there, the nation's number one ranked wrestler and top seed in this tournament. He has a first round bye. So he will face the winner of the 8-9 bout. And, you know, that will likely be Joey Blaze of Purdue or Trevor Chumbly of Northwestern, based on how the current bracket looks. If there's any changes to that, obviously who he will face first is going to change. But, you know, it's a really interesting weight class. I like Michael Blockus a lot from Minnesota. Jarrett Franick, of course, from Iowa. Peyton Robb from Nebraska. There are guys, don't get me wrong, there are guys capable of beating Levi Haynes. But when he is at his best, he is just impossible to stop. And I don't know if I see a wrestler, even if he's a notch below his best, who is going to take him out at this tournament. So to me, could you see Haynes win some matches closer than maybe expected? Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. But it certainly would surprise me if he is not right next after Bartlett, two-way classes later, being crowned the champion of the Big Ten at 157 pounds.
165, we have Mitchell Messenbrink. What do you think of his season so far and his prospects for the tournament?
Uber impressive. I don't, and Kale Sanderson mentioned this earlier, if they thought he was going to be this good, they would have got him out of high school and not a year later after he's, you know, wrestled a few matches and redshirted at Cal Baptist. But yeah, you know, the thing with Messenbrink is we finally get a chance to see him wrestle Dean Hamidi. Dean Hamidi is the number one seed from Wisconsin, an extremely talented wrestler who has a style similar to Messenbrink's. They're both going to go. They are not afraid to shoot. They are not afraid to try and score, and they're willing to live with whatever potentially bad outcomes come from doing that and wrestling that way. They're aggressive. They're guys who want to dictate the action, want to control the pace. So I will be shocked if we don't see those two meet in the finals. I just think that they're on a collision course and have been all year to finally get a chance to wrestle and really show us who is number one at this weight at 165 pounds. I've been bullish on Messenbrink for weeks now, as we've talked about. I have him taking out Hamidi and becoming Penn State's third Big Ten champ at this event at 165 pounds. But, you know, again, I think the floor for him is a trip to the finals, and the ceiling is a winning that final. And if Hamidi would get him, or if he would get himself caught,
small then so room, be it. Greg.
It
very
is,
small
yeah, it's
a very, room.
It's a very small room. But I just think, you know, despite having some obviously very talented wrestlers on his side of the bracket, you're probably looking at a rematch with Michael Caliendo of Iowa in the finals. There, I just think that, you know, I think he is just too talented, T. Frank. To not find his way into the finals. And then from there, you just got to obviously wait and see how things play out. But to me, I think he's the one guy that you would go into this saying he's not a top seed. He probably is not the favorite to win a title, but would leave Maryland with one.
Okay, so the big question, Carter Storace at 174. What do you got? Give us your best prediction or preview.
Yeah, if you're listening and not watching, T-Frank just kind of shrugged, and that's where I'm at with this as well. Yeah, I mean, it's just hard to say in my preview that it'll be up at Blue White Illustrated later this week. I just wrote that it's impossible to predict how this weight class is going to play out without knowing the full status of Carter Storace. I like Shane Griffith from Michigan a lot. He's a two seed. If Storace cannot wrestle the whole way through this tournament, would become the favorite to win this weight class. But, you know, if Storace does wrestle, I like the path he has, you know, to the finals if he can get there physically. So, you know, I to me, I think one of two things happen here. Carter Storace is the 174 pound champ at 134 pounds if he gets to the finals. And if for some reason he does not, I would make Griffiths the favorite to win this weight class. So that's about as best as I can do without knowing the full extent of Carter Storace's participation. But, you know, if he's out, and especially if he does the 1 second in the quarterfinals and then forfeit route It'll certainly shake up this weight class pretty considerably. You'll put some guys in play to advance further and maybe find themselves in a position to get a win they otherwise wouldn't have got because he wasn't on the mat. So very interesting to see how that plays out. And it all starts and ends with the health and length of the tournament for Carter Staracci.
So nothing is a given, but I think the next question period of the tournament is going to be 184 with Bernie Truax before we get to the, you know, some of the guys that you feel pretty confident about here at the end. So I guess, what do you think of Truax in the 184 category?
Yeah, so if you read the superlatives for February in bold prediction, I really am high on the idea that Cale Sanderson has been telling the truth for about 3 months now, and that Bernie Truex is a guy who, once the postseason gets here, is going to show you a level that he has yet to show. And so my bold prediction was, after numerous trips to the third place bout over the course of his career at Nationals, I want to get this right, so I'm going to ramble for a second while I look it up, but that Bernie Truax is going to find himself at the national tournament in a place he has not found himself before, and that's at worst, a third place finisher. So he's a three-time All-American, fourth place finishes all three times. I think at Nationals he will be third place or better. But he's competing against, you know, a really good group of wrestlers starting at the Big Ten tournament. You have from Minnesota, you have drawing a blank here, Isaiah Salazar, who is the top seed at 184 pounds in the Big Ten. And you have Lenny Pinto, the second seed in this particular weight class. He is from Nebraska, just beat Truax back during the dual meet in February. Truax checks in at number three in this bracket. He's going to face the winner of, he will face in his first match Chase Mielnik of Maryland. You know, obviously, we'll expect him to get a good start to his tournament. How far he goes, we'll have to wait and see. But he's going to have to avenge some losses that he had earlier in the year. And so this will be the first indication for us of whether or not Sanderson's right and whether or not Bernie Truax is ready to take his wrestling and the place he finishes on the podium to a higher level than he has before. But this is a really, really interesting weight class because, you know, again, you look at just the Big Ten, very talented guys in front of Bernie Truax, and of course Ryder Rogotsky, who pinned him in the Ohio State dual meet, is right behind him at number four. So there's some guys, again, he's had mixed results against. And then when you get to the NCAA tournament, good luck with Parker Keeshan of Northern Iowa. Dustin Plott of Oklahoma State's very good at this weight. You're going to have Trey Munoz of Oregon State, who they met earlier this year, lurking at the national tournament. So for Bernie Truax, this is a chance for him to say which Bernie Truax is showing up in the postseason. One that can take his wrestling to a new heights, or one that kind of wrestles the way he did most of the season, where scoring and getting offense going was sometimes a challenge, and he put himself in position to get scored on and maybe didn't win some of the matches Penn State fans expect. I have been finishing third at Big Tens, and again, losing the third place match and finishing fourth wouldn't necessarily shock me either. But, you know, again, if we're kind of putting some labels on guys, one guy who he is the one guy I think Penn State fans probably have the lowest expectations for at Big Tens and Nationals that I think can outperform both of those by avenging some losses from earlier in the Big Ten season, but it certainly won't be easy.
So we got two more weight categories to go through: 197, 285, the heavyweights. You know, I don't want to say a lock, but Aaron Brooks and Greg Kirkfleet are two very strong contenders to close this out for Penn State, if put them on the path to a team championship. Is that fair?
Yeah. If it's not locked up by then, certainly I think these guys will push Penn State over the top. I don't see really any way that Aaron Brooks and Greg Kirkfleet are not getting their hand raised at the end of the finals matches at 197 and 285 respectively. I just think they're ahead of their peers at this weight class in the Big Ten, and also really kind of nationally, in a way that it's difficult to envision either getting himself beat and ending up in the consolation bracket or losing in the final. I mean, they're wrestling some guys they are familiar with, and that often, you know, can give guys who have lost to these two before some extra confidence or motivation or learnings from the previous match, whatever. But yeah, I just don't, when you watch these guys wrestle all year, it's just hard to look at the entry list, the pre-seeds for 197 and 285, and really feel strongly that anyone's going to take one of these two guys out. So yeah, I think you're looking at two more champions there, and for Penn State, an overall team title, and then a week to get ready for NCAAs, which of course is the ultimate goal for this program.
So we'll learn quite a bit this weekend about Carter Staracci, some of the you know, the best of the best in the Big Ten are going at it. And Greg Pickle's going to be along for the ride. Where can people find your stuff to make sure they're following along with you, Greg?
Yeah, join us at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com all week. Like I said, we'll have more breakdowns of each weight class. We'll have predictions later in the week. And then we will have full coverage from Saturday and Sunday. The action starts at 10 a.m. on Saturday, and then there's a second session that starts in the evening. Sunday, you're going to have the first session starting at noon, and then the finals are at 4:30. So obviously a lot of wrestling coming up for Penn State over the next, 2 days on the horizon on the weekend. Then before that, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you're going to have Penn State commits and recruiting targets in action at the PAA Wrestling Championships in Hershey. So I'm going to stop down there. Caleb Brewer, the football signee, also on the mat this week at PAA State Championship. So a lot of wrestling to follow in the postseason here as the high school one wraps up for the most part and the college one just kicks off. So we'll have it all covered at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com.
So for Greg Pickle and Thomas Francard, that's the Penn State Wrestling Show. Make sure you tune back in next week as we recap everything that happened. Was Greg right? And we preview the NCAA tournament. Greg, it's March. We're here. It's on the Penn State Wrestling Show.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.